True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday morning. I have to say, it's been another planes, trains, and automobiles. I just have to laugh at this crazy trip that we took. And I thought, well, certainly the return will be more normal. But we were delayed. Our flight left at, our first leg left at around, I want to say midnight. No. It might have been 11. Anyway, suffice it to say, home at 3 a.m. I had News Nation this morning at 6. Woo! Ready to go. So crazy day or night or whatever time it is. So thank you all for being here, though. In the middle of tweeting and communicating with a lot of folks on X yesterday, I realize there's a lot of information out there regarding this DNA, the latest information. I also wanted to dispel a rumor that is growing like wildfire out there about a detention that would have been made not last night, but the night before. So first of all, let's touch on this detention. It was purported that there was a detention, and that was put out by couple of different creators. I'm just going to leave it at this. Fox contacted Nanos. Nanos says about that, nope. That was the exact quote. No, he did not. There was no detention. There was nothing going on from a law enforcement aspect last night. So that's what he had to say. And I got to tell you, if there would have been a detention, we would have seen lights, sirens, you know, probably SWAT descend. It would not have looked much different from the other detentions. So I just wanted to clear all that up. I know nobody believes Sheriff Nanos. Everybody thinks he's a liar and completely incapable of passing on truth on this case. But you guys, at least he's not a source. I've gone over this before. I have never seen more source reporting in any case I've ever covered. It's just crazy, the source reporting. Again, I think the reason the source reporting is so viral is because if Sheriff Nanos was more trusted by the media, and if Sheriff Nanos trusted the media, I mean, we have two things going on here, right? Sheriff Nanos has zero trust for the media because everything he says and most media is really not painting the best of light with Nanos. So you have this firestorm really of the FBI is not going to talk. This is nothing new. This is something that should be highly expected by all of us true crimers, highly expected, of course, by anyone who was an FBI agent, anyone who has worked directly with the FBI. They're not going to talk. I give you I'll give you one public example, but I can just tell you across the board, typically that it's that way, except for on occasion when Kash Patel decides to talk, like in the Charlie Kirk case. He decided to talk, put on that blue raid jacket and went to the podium, and he decided to, you know, talk. But take the Gabby Petito case. Gabby Petito was worked by the FBI for months, and it wasn't until the case was completely over, all the search warrants, all the interviews, millions and millions. I need to find that figure again. It's been a while since I saw it. It was multi-millions. If anybody in chat looks it up right now, you're going to see it was multi-millions, particularly for the weeks and weeks of searching for Brian Laundrie, all those assets. They actually put that to a dollar figure. It was astronomical. This case is also going to be astronomical, even though it's pared down. That figure is going to be astronomical. And that's part of the reason that I've said, man, just every aspect needs to be worked with this. It's funny, I've really thought a lot about, and I hope if you haven't watched it and you have any interest in learning and understand cryptocurrency, I had a crypto Bitcoin specific expert on. He was so good. I thought he did a good job of trying to dumb it down for people like me who have zero cryptocurrency knowledge. I think it's just not to deviate too much. I really do wonder if it is the future. You know, nobody thought debit cards would be the future. Well, I don't use them anyway, but most people do. Nobody thought credit cards. I remember, do you guys remember that when we were little, really? And the first credit cards started being used. And even I remember them barely being used in when I was in college, certainly not being used at all when I was growing up, you know, grade school, junior high, high school, nobody used credit cards. And then I remember more in college, you saw people using credit cards. You know, I come from a background of a farming background, very simple background. And man, I was trying to think if my father, who died a few years ago, ever even owned a credit card. I don't know if he did. He did everything in cash. I mean, he taught me just the simplest of life. I'll never forget him telling me, one time there was something I wanted or said I would do, something like that. And I said, but Daddy, I promise. And he looked at me and I was probably in my teens, early teens. And he just said, your handshake should always be your word. I don't need anything in writing. I don't need anything to do with God. Like a promise is what he was inferring. He said, I just need your handshake and your handshake is everything. And I've never forgotten that, but I know I've digressed a little bit, but I just want to talk a little bit about how I wonder if cryptocurrency could be our future. As odd as it seems, I don't know. I mean, the US dollar, I don't think will ever go away, but the problem is that just when we don't have enough of it, we just keep printing it. I never know if there's ever gold to back it. I don't even know if anybody cares anymore. But nevertheless, the reason that I bring this up is in the Nancy Guthrie investigation, you look at the millions that have been spent, that will be spent. We're going to talk a lot about this lab stuff, which costs a lot of money. I know that the lab in Florida, at least according again to Nanos, he said that in this particular case, they were doing it pro bono. That's what he said. Really, I tell you, I go back and I visit what he says a lot. And I'm frustrated because, and I think that's probably, like I said, why we see sources in the press and people like me, people who are former law enforcement, people who have a channel like this that isn't a gossip channel. You know, I don't get off on putting other people, other creators down. I really just try to report the facts as we know them, so that all of us can have it and weigh it and decide what we're going to think about a case. Because at the end of the day, advocating for justice, keeping this information in this case out fresh in the news and on social media, that keeps people looking. I always compare it to the Sebastian Rogers case that is ice cold, that's been ice cold forever. Again, another, in my opinion, department that absolutely dropped the ball on that case, and a case that you have literally had a 15-year-old autistic child that left his phone, that purportedly had absolutely no internet access, according to both sets of parents, that, again, another pitch dark neighborhood that just disappeared. You know, purportedly no cars went in, no cars went out. That's just, it's mind-boggling. But my point is, there is nobody even cares anymore. No one's following that case. So that's why every morning, and actually there's always a lot to report. I'm never even struggling. Right now there's an uptick, right? Because everybody's talking about it again. Mainstream media is talking about it. Social media is all over this case. So we have, again, a huge uptake in information going around about Nancy Guthrie. But you know what there isn't an uptake in? Nobody's showing this picture. It just boggles me. Actually, News Nation, I think, does a really good job of any time that they do a story. For the most part, they have his picture off to the side or put it in their rotation so that at least the crowd, you know, people watching can see it. But that's what I see the purpose sort of this channel. I think for all of us, you know, anytime you have a hobby, and I've thought a lot about this, some people love to watch television. And I say that because a huge majority of my friends, I literally was almost banished when they found out I'd never watched a show of Friends show. They're like, you're banished. We loved you. And now we don't. You haven't seen Friends. It's like iconic. You got to see it. And so my meaning is many people watch television. Many people do lots of different things. They have lots of hobbies. I'd like to consider this a lot more than a hobby for me, considering the amount of time I spend. And for you, many of you are the same. This isn't just a hobby. It's something that you're involved in to keep the word out, to really understand the cases, and to spread awareness, to spread photos, to ask questions that might not be asked otherwise. So anyway, as we follow this case, we're going to continue on it for all these reasons I've just named. Whether anybody else is on it or not, or lightly sprinkling it in, we're going to stay on it. But I want to really concentrate on the DNA, because that is what's heavy, heavy, heavy in the news. And who broke the story? And I have to give credit where credit is due. It's ABC. ABC News broke this story. And again, I want to reiterate, this is source reporting. And then now it's been confirmed, right? Fox is confirmed. Of course, my channel, who I love, News Nation, has confirmed this. I was just on with Hannah Doba this morning, and we were talking all about DNA. I've been largely unavailable due to my crazy, rigorous, insane travel, but back home now for a while. So anyway, this DNA, I want to touch on the points that ABC touched on. First of all, utmost important for everyone to understand, and I realized a lot of people didn't understand it when I was reading comments and looking through different social media and even seeing little blurbs on mainstream media that left it general. I want to make this clear. The DNA being discussed that was from Nancy's house, and this is Nancy's house, again, it's way back. You can't really see it. This was no just, I'm driving by. I think this looks like a perfect house to hit. No, it doesn't look like the perfect house to hit. At night, you wouldn't even see this house. This was absolutely targeted. I saw that being discussed again. Targeted. I'm sticking on that hill. They didn't just randomly choose Nancy Guthrie, Savannah Guthrie's mother. Secondarily, this is about the DNA that was found in there. Now, if you look back at a clip, again, we're going to bringing him up a lot, because we got to discuss what he says when it comes to this case, because he is our only conduit to law enforcement that's in the thick of it. He is literally running this investigation, everyone. Oh, I wanted to put this up. So a lot of us said things had really shifted and more to the FBI having the lead. By the way, this article also says, remember how I've been talking about that everything's really pared down? It's at a task force. It's in Phoenix, it's a joint violent crime task forces or task force. These task force have, you know, state, local, federal officials, and they're usually large. A squad could have up to, you know, 30 people on a squad. We know now and I believe it was supplemented, but nevertheless, according to this information, 24. 24 is the number we have of Pima County and FBI. That's what was quoted, Pima County and FBI. And I want to caution because, again, it's source, but beyond that, when they say FBI, I think FBI task force folks on it. So we have a lot of what we call TFOs. And TFOs, task force officers, are federally sworn. They really go through an amazing process. In other words, you don't just get to come and be on a task force. There's a vetting process there that's involved. There's paperwork that's done between the departments involved, whether it's Secret Service is on your task force or Customs, Border Patrol, whoever. Of course, that all falls under Homeland Security, but nevertheless, there are these, or ATF, whoever it might be, there are these communications. How do I know this? That is the majority of what I did in my career, 25 years as an FBI agent, 15 years in what we call resident agencies or assigned to task forces. And there were always these agreements, even when I went to the gang unit. So I was in the gang unit for 6 years, working nights, working days, working enforcement, working primarily, obviously, with the detectives. Although I loved to go out with enforcement, you know, to really hit the streets, pound the pavement, because I needed to understand the area. I needed to understand the players. I needed to really be in close association and become good working with the guys that are down there beating the pavement, because they brought a lot of the information to us that would spin into a case. The detectives then would spin into their local case, and then I took it and took it to a federal level. We indicted, as I recall, 12 different gang cases while I was there, and one huge case that was a Crip case that involved, we indicted, I believe, 48 people just on that one gang. I digress with all of this because I want everybody to understand what it means to be a task force. So a task force, the Pima County just didn't come in and be part of that task force. That's what I'm trying to say. They're not, I don't think all that got signed and everything was done necessarily. I think that there's Pima County task force or officers working with the established task force. That's what I think. And it's very possible that there's always been at least one Pima County sheriff officer on the FBI's task force, and they just supplemented it because they're still working the case hot and heavy. But a long time ago, I told y'all there was no way they were going to keep 100 FBI agents assigned on the case, like what happened at the beginning and all those sheriff's officers. And we heard when Nano said, we're paring down. And then we heard when the FBI said, you know, or the FBI didn't really say, but that it got switched to the Phoenix office through reporting and through Nano. So nevertheless, you still have, if it's true from what this ABC is reporting, and again, I'm going to go to their reporting because they initially reported it. So at least I don't have stepping stones that they reported it and then somebody else reported it and all of that. So ABC is the kernel. They are the infancy of this information. So not only did they give us new numbers, they said, listen, within that house, all this DNA gathered, nothing is new. In other words, they didn't go back out again. So the DNA would have been gathered within the first few days of the investigation. Pima County was out there on the 1st. They began their crime scene investigation on the 1st. I've heard various reports. It's Nanos out of his mouth said 20 hours. So if we're to believe Nanos, it was 20 hours. If we're to believe some of the people that are coming forward after that, that are part of his department, that are kind of tattletaling on him, or other people behind shrouds and everything else providing some information, if we're to believe all of that, it was a lot less. I don't know the true answer. I don't know the true answer, but I do know that crime scene went there. And we know, we all know, they released the crime scene, huge mistake. They didn't take any of these weeds that he could have slobbered on because he had that thing in his mouth and he had the weeds and he's down there pulling a piece of slobber got on these, not weeds, vines. We know they didn't take the mat. That doesn't mean they didn't process the mat, but I kind of doubt they processed it very well because we have all these pictures with the vines on top of the mat. It's disappointing. Look, we're all disappointed. The FBI went back. They didn't take the mat either or the vines. Probably by then it had been so corrupted, this crime scene. We've talked about it with Dale Lemberg, talked about it with multiple law enforcement, of course, with my buddy Mac, who I just love. We've talked about this, and the bottom line is you get one shot, one bite at the apple, period, on a crime scene. Sometimes you have to, it's very rare. I've talked about this too. I literally think one time in my whole career, and we had to go get another warrant. In my whole career, 28 years, and in working expert witness after that, all of these cases I review, never seen where they've gone back. Certainly not four times. Four times, everyone. Pima County, a couple days later, the FBI. A couple days later, the FBI again to go up on that roof. I don't have that picture, but I have a lot of pictures of the FBI up on that roof pulling off the cameras that they forgot to get. A couple days later, in the septic, reported on that. If you ever want to see a chronology of this case, and there could be other chronologies, I don't know. But if you ever want to see a true chronology where every day is covered, every day that anything happened of any significant note, even notes that weren't that significant, but I put it up because people asked about it. And a lot of times, look, if you DM me, if you multiple times, if I'm sometimes I'll just be on a string reading a string and I try to interact, you know, especially like on a plane when I have downtime, I can react more than other times. But when I see a repeated question, you're going to see me answer that. I did a terrible job of answering a question that I had repeatedly gotten about the individuals who were initially arrested. People are still asking about that. Why were they arrested? What was the, you know, the probable cause? And I would argue there was no probable cause there. Well, there was probable cause to take the car and to search the house, but they used probably more reasonable suspicion, which is even a lower bar than probable cause, to hold and detain these people. And I was trying to explain and bring it up, and I did a terrible job. I kind of put together a tweet and didn't read it as well as I should have before I sent it out. So I took it down. I reposted it addressing two items, and that was what I told you in the front. The reports that there was somebody detained, at least according to Nanos, are false. It didn't happen. It's not true. I tend to believe that because I think we would have seen a lot of reporting on that. We would have seen a lot of information on that, and we're not seeing any. So I don't think that happened. As far as the reason that individuals were initially detained, and there were multiple, I think a total of sort of, well, the two gentlemen were definitely detained, and then the mother of one and mother of both, I believe, they were both detained. Anyway, I tried to talk about that, and my point to this is why were they detained? Because people reported that they were porch guy, that their eyes are the same, blah, 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 that one's a deliverer, that the other one is, you know, involved in criminal activity and da-da-da-da-da. And so it built from there, and the FBI built a reason. And remember, this was in February. This was all in the early stages. Nobody's been detained since February. That's a long time ago. We're on, I believe, day 77. Correct me if I'm wrong. 77. That's what day we're on, everyone. We are way, way, way down the road. But some cases and some homicide cases can take months, if not years, to resolve. So I've given this one 6 months. We're going to see if it gets solved within that time frame or not. But I'm still holding out some hope, everyone, that within 6 months we'll have some answers. Why did I give it that time frame? I gave it that time frame based on DNA analysis having time to get done, and on, you know, I still am convinced the reason that they haven't, what I call tickled the wire, part of it is you do not want to encourage others to make requests, ransom demands, and so forth. I just think in a case like this, I would put in something for the two demand letters that they 100% believe are true. And then for the letters that follow the exact same modus operandi, I say that meaning they go to media and they seem trusting of that method not being able to be followed way before anybody knew it couldn't be followed. I mean, didn't everybody think the email address would be likely figured out by the best of the best in the FBI and other individuals who have been hired by the FBI? Didn't everybody think that would have been, that code would have been cracked by now? I've explained why it's not. You know, the layers that these bad guys know to build, the email accounts to get, VPNs to use, the particular kind of phone you want to use. So I guess I got to be honest. I just really hoped early on that Porch Guy wasn't that sophisticated. Seems like he's pretty sophisticated. He's sophisticated enough to set up a Bitcoin account illegitimately that nobody's been able to trace. Again, they haven't backdoored it, but maybe it's because the FBI believes, listen, if they are savvy enough in all these other areas, they likely have a way that they could convert a Bitcoin if they sent 76,000, let's just say, that the money would be gone and they would not be able to trace it. Maybe they are convinced that there's no way they could trace it. We've heard that you can trace it, but there are things you can do so you can't trace it. And maybe they believe they're just savvy enough, you know, savvy enough that can't be followed. So where we're at with this DNA, and again, I think we know where the DNA didn't come from, but we do know where it did come from. That DNA is from February. So off your mind, please, there's nothing new in this case in terms of evidence. It's old evidence. Now, this evidence was initially sent to the Pima County Contract Lab in Florida. According to Nanos, Nanos said, listen, they're not even charging us. They're doing this pro bono. That's what he said. I don't know how a lab can do that. And maybe this is part of the reason. Let's think about this logically. Why did this lab give up on this? Supposedly, according to the new reporting, it's because the FBI has advanced technology and expertise that the Florida lab doesn't have. And so they're sending it off to the Florida lab. Now, I just got to tell you, when I read that, I just was so concerned, everyone. I mean, I'm sure everybody's concerned with that. Oh my goodness. If they had expertise that the Florida lab didn't do, and I will tell you this, that different labs do have different expertise. For instance, in the forensic digital analysis world, the Secret Service has amazing tools that often the FBI would send things to down there. That was also in Florida, the digital side. I'm not talking about DNA side, because they had that. And it's something that the FBI doesn't necessarily have. By the way, thank you for that $3. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Let me put this up really quick. Oh, thank you, Holly Locks. I like that name, Holly Locks. Thank you very much. When you look at the DNA, the fact that that lab is in a sense given up on it, right? That's what's happened now. Day 77, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I inverted two numbers yesterday and put 67. I think it said 76 or had a typo yesterday on a tweet. But I just want to see if anybody says, but I believe it's 77. And I'm going to put this one up. I like this question, and I don't want to forget not to answer it, CC. I think it's CC. Oh, my gosh. These glasses aren't strong enough. Yeah, it's CC. Thank you for that question. They've given up on it. The lab, and I don't know if you recall this, but I supported the decision when I was asked about Sheriff Nanos. I was asked it so many times on mainstream media and even here on the channel. Why in the world did they not send it to the FBI lab right when the FBI took over? So day three-ish, four-ish. When I say took over, not took over, got deeply involved. And Nanos said, and I back this, that listen, when you have... I cannot forget to answer this question, but I want to make sure to put this up because this is so kind. I'm going to answer both questions. But that when you have expertise in another laboratory, you must send it away. I don't care if the other lab is doing it for free. The FBI is for free in a sense. I mean, they're going to add up how much all that lab work, right? They're going to add all of that up. You know, when they get to their dollar figure, there's going to be a dollar figure that's going to be used on this. I'm telling you, it's multi millions. But it's, in a sense, it doesn't cost anybody anything. You know, normally these counties are paying any other lab. They're not going to pay the FBI lab. So one of two things, either one, remember when he said it was for free that they were doing it pro bono on this case. I wonder if that ran out. You know, at some point you have a lab with their technicians that have all these other paid jobs. You know, you know what it's like, whatever profession you're in, you've had people come to you and ask you for help. I have two on the line right now, aside from everything with social media in the real world. I have one that I took care of finally yesterday that they needed help with. And I still have one more outstanding, which at the end, I do want to talk about that one because it involves cryptocurrency. But I have, I mean, a bad cryptocurrency situation that I meant to talk about with Mr. Vargas. He and I talked about, we needed to talk about it. And then time got away from us and we never got on it. And I just forgot. But anyway, I think it's probably a combination between this lab. Now they're going to charge Pima County. Nobody's talking about this, but I'm telling you from working behind the scenes with these cases, there's so much that goes into these decisions. And for them to just all of a sudden, I need to do a tweet on this, for them to just all of a sudden say, oh, the FBI has the advanced technology we need, so now we're sending it. They always had the advanced technology. The FBI didn't get the advanced technology in 77 days ago, or actually for them, if you divide out how many days they weren't involved in this, 73. Everyone, there is more to this decision. Advanced technology, when I read that, I just shook my head. If Florida didn't have it, they never should have had it, the sample. They should have never done it that way. They should have never sent it down there. In fact, it should have gone straight to the lab from the onset. And I'll tell you this, I guarantee the FBI agreed to do that. Remember how this case is being worked by the FBI? We have special number designations for every kind of case, whether it be organized crime, public corruption, any case, white collar crime, very specific designations. There's a number that designates the crime. And then next to that, there can be letters. And then we have what we call our title. So underneath, we will name the victim. We will name all of that. What this is a police cooperation case, most likely. It also could have been opened, quite frankly, though, as a kidnapping case. And I brought this point forward. If you look under sub B of the CFR of the federal regs, the FBI can work this, because once somebody's missing for more than 24 hours under sub B, that opens the door for the FBI to presume that they have traveled across state lines. That's a sub in there. It's seldom used, because usually these cases are solved much quicker and the local departments handle them, because the venue is crystal clear that this would fall in the venue of Pima County. In other words, if they find Porch Guy, and if they find Nancy, and it's clear that he never left, or that he's from there, and Nancy never left, and this crime was fully committed there, they're going to charge this locally. Look at Luigi Mangione is the perfect example I like to use. Luigi Mangione was charged both state and federal. I think that was really overkill, but New York had done a lot of the work. They wanted the credit. They want to charge it. They want to get the conviction. They want to say they convicted it. There's even a pissing match still going on. Like, who's gonna do the case first? The federal government worked faster. They were going to do it first. So then the state came up and they rearranged their dates so that they could do it first. It just drives, that stuff drives me crazy. There is no reason that for Luigi Mangione to be tried for the exact same case twice. I know the law is different. In other words, the league, what he's been charged with is different. That's why it's not double jeopardy, but the facts are the same. So he's being charged because the federal government said, listen, he crossed state lines. He crossed state lines to get there. He crossed state lines to leave there. You know, he's found in Pennsylvania. He crossed up through the southern United States to go to New York to commit this crime. So clearly, it's FBI jurisdiction as well, federal jurisdiction. So they're both charging it. If there is no state line nexus crossing in this case, the FBI cannot take it over. And Nanos, and I meant to put this up here, everyone, Nanos put out a new, or Pima County, I think it was from Nanos. I'll find it. I'll have it for the next slide. He literally put out, and he said, we're in charge. I'm going to add this part. We're large and in charge, because he wanted everybody to know we're still in charge. So they're still in charge, although he defers whenever they talk about the ransom. He doesn't seem to want any part of the ransom or the ransom notes, because that's highly technical. He's staying out of that piece. So anyway, you look for there to be more than one reason why this went to Quantico, because there's no reason why, then why not waste 70 some odd days and not have it at Quantico if they've always had the most advanced sophistication in a particular technique that would have assisted in this case. Remember, it's been reported that there's multiple profiles. We know now, according to this reporting, that it is a hair, that one thing is a hair. If you look back at what Nano said there were not just one DNA sample found in that house. I've had a lot of people ask. I just want to say this is how it works. After you have collected DNA, a hair or whatever you have collected, touch, saliva, blood, any of the realm, teardrops, any of this realm of DNA, and you swab it and you collect it and you have it tested, the next step you have to do is you have to collect from everyone who is associated with that house. Anyone who likely Tommaso, Annie, because they were the caretakers, said could have been in that house. Whether that's housekeepers, whether that was somebody that's a good friend of hers that comes over often. Obviously, Annie, Tommaso, Savannah, and Cameron, and many, many others. She had that house for 50 years. Everyone, if you looked, and this is the caveat I also want to say, if you looked in your house right now, I don't know how long you've owned it or lived there, there is not only going to be all sorts of DNA from you all, the people who are at that house, What about parties? What about parties over the years? I can tell you, we have had, up until probably 3 years ago, a huge blowout party for like 17, 18 years straight, a Halloween costume party with, we all play Texas Hold'em. We have a tournament. We all dress up. It is so much fun. And we haven't done it the last 3 years, mostly because of football and kids and whatnot, which I don't know how we could initially do it with three kids at home, but now we have one and somehow we can't manage to do it. But nevertheless, all those people that were in our house, our biggest party was probably 150 people. All of their DNA could still be in that house, in this house, in the different houses I'm associated with. There is so much DNA in there. Because even though you clean and you have people that clean and you otherwise clean up, I'm telling you, if somebody, you know, a hair or, you know, whatever that they brought in, it could go years and never get squared away. Especially look at how meticulous, and this was also reported, meticulous house. So she was very meticulous, which is a good thing. We don't know about any parties, but I mean, she was there 50 years. I'm not saying that a 50-year-old party could have left DNA, but I'm not saying it's impossible. And I'm certainly saying that people that have been recently there, for instance, and I've had this happen just recently. Somebody is doing a delivery and it's a heavier box and they come into my house. They come in, they set the box down. Some have asked to use the restroom, some different workers or whatnot. I don't know what work we know. Actually, we do know what work. She had a lot of work that was being done fairly recently on the roof, on the house. How many of those workers asked to use the restroom? She seems like such a lovely woman. If she grew up how I grew up, you were always very hospitable and mi casa, su casa type of mentality. And she seemed that way. I don't know. Maybe they had a porta potty. Maybe they went down the street to the Circle K that we've seen. But nevertheless, there are so many people that could have been in this house that could have left DNA, that could have left that hair, that have absolutely nothing to do with Porch Guy and any accomplice he could have been with. Nothing. So I'm always, and I had on Dr. Fitzpatrick, who again is the genesis of DNA. She was the first one to use DNA to solve the case. PhDs, you know, she's got more degrees, but she actually, she's doing the work still. She has a company. She still does this work. You guys know how I love to get people on who did the work for decades and are still doing the work. So she talked a lot about what I'm saying here, and that is cautiously optimistic that it has something to do with this case. But I truly believe that at this point on day 77, if they were able, for instance, with a hair, if they were able to rule out the people that they know have been in this house and that they know could have deposited DNA, they've already ruled those people out, most likely. So now they're just looking for, and Nano said that, by the way. I don't know if you remember it, but Nano says, hey, listen, this belongs to someone unassociated, that we believe is unassociated. I still think, because it's mixed profiles, I'm not convinced it's that hair. I'm really not convinced it was that hair that he's talking about, the mixed profiles. I am convinced that there are multiple profiles we may be talking about, multiple DNA samples. I really am. Not only because he said it, because that's the only thing that makes sense. You know, you've got a hair. You don't need to worry about any mixed profiles to do with that hair. You've got the hair. And a hair without a shaft, we've heard from C.C. Moore, we've heard from Dr. Fitzpatrick, absolutely, we know from the Rex Heuermann case, can be made through genetic genealogy. So that's what they're working on. It can take months to do. But I want to talk about the fact that also in this article, they are saying that based on the DNA that was in that house, that the five labs are working on this. Five labs. I guarantee they're not doing it for free. I don't really care about the money. I just wanted to bring that point up. The FBI is likely paying for those labs to do this work. Pima County does not have the money the FBI has. Maybe they're both sharing the expenditure in some way, but that's expensive. That's what this report said. Five labs are working on determining who DNA samples belong to. So that's another reason why I fully believe that there's not just one DNA. I think we have a DNA sample, which he said, I know people say more than two, or people say more than one. I have the recording where he says more than two profiles. So that to me tells me it's likely touch. That's what I think when I hear that. Likely touch. Which doesn't make that a bad sample. I'm telling you, that's your skin cells that are on your fingers. It doesn't mean that it's not a good sample. And then this hair is really the huckleberry, because that's going to be able to be matched, but I'm sort of cautiously optimistic that it's actually going to have a direct nexus to Porch Guy. I'm hopeful. What is Dale Lundberg says? He says, and then sometimes God touches the case. You know, in other words, I remember when some people love this and some people hated it, but I said with the sheath, he would have gotten away with it. I said, but he screwed up and that sheath fell off. He didn't secure it. And God was watching, because, you know, it's hard to bring, I suppose, God and anything wonderful in a scenario where four kids are murdered, or in this scenario where an 84-year-old is abducted and likely deceased. But we just got to hope for that God factor. In other words, call it whatever you want, but that good factor, the factor of something coming, karma, whatever we want to call it, righteousness coming in and putting the finger on who did this crime. I want to answer these questions 100%. And hi, Willow. Thank you so much. Willow Above and Beyond, beautiful name. 100% someone she knew, she could identify them. Otherwise, they would not have taken her after whatever injury caused the blood outside. They had to take her, and she was not alive for long after that ransom fake, in my opinion. I want to address all the parts of this, because it's a lot of thoughts here, and I like them, and I want to address this, because I think a lot of people, you know, think a lot of things here. Okay, this, and I'm going to say, so a lot of times when I talk, I say, this is a fact. Like Sheriff Nano said this, that's a fact. It's a fact. This is what I saw on surveillance. It's a fact. This is what the license plates went to that were on the van that went there that showed there was a locksmith there working on the back doors, which is why I first said he went through the back. Things like that. These are going to be my opinions based on everything I know on the case. Someone she knew. I do agree that this is somebody familiar. This is somebody that is and was familiar with Nancy Guthrie and the Guthrie family. I don't know how close of association that is going to end up being, but I firmly believe that. Number two, she could identify them. I strongly believe, this is strongly, Willow, that she couldn't. I think that they, if they were going to be able to be seen anyway, and she was going to know them, they wouldn't have masked up like this in the middle of the night. I don't think they removed their masks. I truly believe they grabbed her. I think it happened in a short amount of time, because we know 212, there was a person seen on one of those cameras that was on her roof. We know that. So that gives him a much shorter amount of time to get in there, to grab her, to open the door. I think to gag her, likely put a hood over her face so she wouldn't see the car and so she wouldn't see where they were going. I still think they threw in the trunk. That's how I believe this went down. I don't think they knew her. I think they always planned to abduct her, Willow. I think that was always the plan, always the intention. And I think they could have cared less and likely planned on her to die, but I don't think they planned on her to die as quick as she did. I don't know that they really had evaluated well enough how quickly she would pass based on likely, in part at least, her mental issues. Or not mental, sorry, physical issues, like her heart, her extreme back pain, and the frailty of needing medication. Blood thinners. Okay, let's see. I believe in your other part. I believe she was taking purposefully that was always the plan. As far as the injury with the blood outside, oh goodness, do I have this picture? I usually have been putting it up lately in case we had a question about this, and I did not put it up. People, bear with me. I'm not going to go away from this, but I know that my computer makes this clicking noise. I've just been too busy to really get that addressed to buy this other. So somebody said they like the clicking. So thanks for saying that, making me feel better, because I definitely want to give you a very professional show. I don't know if any other creators click. Here's, oh shoot. Yeah, you can still see it here. Let me put this one up. I'm going to have to take this down, Willow. They had to take her, and let me finish addressing. They had to take her. They wanted to take her, I believe. And she was not alive long after that. I agree with that. As far as the ransom notes being fake, because Savannah Guthrie says they weren't fake, the first two, I agree with the others that have rolled in. And the because of the first two that Savannah says weren't fake, and because of how the FBI said that the notes, or law enforcement said that the notes had specificity. We've gone over that, what was on the nightstand, a floodlight, what she wore. Because of that specificity that we know about from the ransom notes, and in conjunction with what Savannah said, and even more so, this is what I always say, actions speak louder than words. Actions, they're the tell-all for everything. And in this case, look at what the FBI did. They got their behavioral analysis unit on this to help write those scripts that we saw them say. There were five different times that the ransom note writers were addressed by Savannah and her family. The first one was the whole family. The second one was just Cameron. And then the third, fourth, and fifth were just Savannah. That happened for a reason. They believed they would not put that effort to orchestrate and to guide this without them believing that those first two notes were real. I think the first two notes were real. Let me take this down now. Let me take this down, and I wanted to actually put that one back up before I forget, which I think I already forgot. Continued clicking will make me unsubscribe. Gosh, I'm so sorry about the clicking. Nevertheless, she takes blood thinners. You can tell by her arms. You can tell by her, let me put this comment up. I like this comment. You can tell by her arms. You can tell by her skin that essentially they're paper thin. And for those of you who know anyone that is on blood thinners, you will know that their arm, you have to do almost nothing to it to make them bleed. So unfortunately, although that blood is telling, right, it was telling she was handled very rough, I don't think it's telling that she was beaten in any way or that anything like that happened. And in fact, we have reporting that inside the house was fairly undisturbed, that there weren't signs of a, I think they put it as something like a major struggle. So I guess I'm imagining there's no blood all over the place. There's no, maybe very few things knocked over in any way. She was immaculate in how she kept her home. So, you know, we know certainly that there was no major struggle in there. So I don't believe she was severely injured in any way. I just think with blood thinners and me understanding, and I'm sure many of you knowing, the fact that people on blood thinners, their arms and their, well, all their skin, it's literally just paper thin. So anyway, I wanted to comment on this. And Cece, put up your next one again. I think Cece Legal Canada, you put up the other one that I wanted to denote also. I don't believe they were inside for 40 minutes. I completely agree with you. I believe that that 147, they snatch out that front camera at approximately 2:12. They are seen on the side of the house or the back of the house by the other cameras. They specifically say Nancy's cameras. And then again, they're in and gone, or at least it disconnects at 2:28. So we have some really pretty good timeline here. And so I totally agree that I just don't think he took off his garb. I think he kept it on. And I think that they masked her or otherwise put a hood over her face. There was a lot in that backpack, everyone. And that backpack, you know, shows us that he brought things that he intended to use. And I believe in part that was something to put over her so she wouldn't see the car or the destination they were taking her to. Because it's not just here. Remember, this is pitch black. Actually, I hope you have a chance to watch this. And next time I'm on, I'm going to use this little bite from a neighbor. He is really interesting. I posted this on, it's posted on YouTube on one of my shorts. This is a neighbor who's amazing. He talks about how dark it is. He says, you can't even see, live there, I think he said 25 years, the hand in front of your face. So extremely, extremely dark there. And that's an important point to note as to why they were able to get away with this. But again, I think he intended to take her someplace. And of course, when you get out of the car, then you would be able to see, you would be able to see where they took her to, and they wanted to conceal that. All right, let's see. Oh, you were commenting on why not claim the reward versus the Bitcoin. Thank you. On the reward, there are special parameters. Did anybody in chat ever watch the White case? White, what? So there was a person in charge, literally, I think number two in command of a jail facility, prison facility, where an inmate whose last name was White was being held. She falls in love with him. Some of you will remember this case. It happened maybe 2 years ago. She falls in love with him, and then she plans this escape. She makes up, you know, an excuse that she needs to take him out. You know, she's number two in charge, and she takes him out, and they end up in this high-speed chase at the end. And anyway, she ends up killing herself, and he ends up being rearrested. Why do I bring up that case? Well, they were on the run for a long time. Everybody was looking for them. You know, everybody was looking for them. And they were doing a good job maintaining being under the radar. And then you know what happened? They were at a car wash, I believe. And this car wash guy, attendant, he recognized him. And he called it in. And actually, I need to look and see if that reward has ever been paid. They put up a whole fuss about paying that reward. And not just that reward, there's been several other rewards. It is a lot to get a reward. They say you can do it anonymously, but you can imagine the Bureau doesn't want to be paying Porch Guy. That's not the purpose of these rewards. They're not trying to pay the people who committed these horrible crimes. They'll pay a peripheral player that might know something about it, but to think it's going to be totally anonymous and you're not going to know, I'm here to tell you there's a lot of steps to go through to get that 1.2 million. And I understand that the Bureau has 100,000 in the pot. A private individual has 100,000 in the pot, and the Guthrie family has $1 million in the pot. That's where that's coming from, the 1.2 million. But they all have the same parameters on them. They're all going to have those same parameters. And likely, I think they're thinking, how am I going to get paid? How do you hide $1.2 million, even if you say anonymously? How do you get that? What are you going to say? Put $1.2 million in unmarked bills in a paper bag behind the Publix, and I'll pick it up at 11:02 a.m. or whatever. I mean, how are you really going to do this in this day and age? How are you going to get it transferred? You're going to set up, like, are you going to have the Bureau set up fake accounts? They can do that. Set up a fake account for you and give you the passwords or whatever you need to get into that account. I don't know, but I think that's why. I think that they have absolutely no faith that it won't be traced. And actually, I think that the ransom note writers, again, I believe the first two were real. That's why they didn't go to the authorities, because they know it could be traced. But I will never understand why they wouldn't have left, had a pre-made ransom note that they would have left there with instructions, knowing that the first people on scene would likely be Annie and Tomasa. Those were the caretakers. Those were the go-tos. Not Savannah. She's in New York. Not Cameron. He doesn't live there. It's going to be Annie and Tomaso. So, or a housekeeper, perhaps. You know, look who found Gene Hackman. It was his yard guy. He peeked through the window and looked and saw that, you know, they were incapacitated. So to me, and remember, law enforcement wasn't called for, I want to say, law enforcement got involved, I want to say about an hour and a half after Annie and Tomasa were there, because they did what anybody would expect. They saw the doors open. They thought, oh, maybe that was used for emergency care to go in and get her. And they went and got her, and she didn't call anybody. She didn't let anybody know. It was an emergent situation. They went in and got her, and next of kin, nobody was notified that she was in a hospital. So that's what their first thinking was. And so they, you know, start calling around all the different hospitals, trying to figure out what happened. And they're looking for her too. So, you know, there's always, typically, unless you see a body there, there's typically a hiatus between initial family, friends, lawn person, whatever it might be, unless there's a body, before you call, you make that 911 call, because people don't want to think the worst. No one wants to think the worst. No one wants to think that an 84-year-old was abducted by a masked man. That's like probably pretty far down on your list when you're thinking what could have happened to Nancy if you're a caretaker for her. That's probably really far down, especially somebody who had lived in the same house since the 70s. Someone who had felt safe and secure and never had an issue. This would be the furthest thing you would think about. So I think that's why that realm will never be followed up on, unless somebody who does know Porch Guy peripherally comes forward. And we've seen it already, where people peripherally think they know Porch Guy, they've called in. And we saw two takedowns related to it. It just wasn't the right guy. But it's better to call in, it's better to say something and be wrong than to not say something and maybe you're right. All right, let me just make sure there's nothing else. We had some such great questions today. I want to make sure I don't miss anything on this DNA. So again, 5 labs working on it, according to the recent reporting. That's big. It tells me that there's more than one sample. Number 2, the Florida lab, we know have had it from the very beginning when it was collected, or I think it's going to be more than one sample because they're talking about a mixture. And then separate from that, they said a hair. She's talking about more than one sample. It doesn't make any sense that there's like it's a blood-soaked hair or saliva-soaked hair, and that is the mixed sample. I would think they would easily be able to line that out. So I don't believe at all. I think that we're talking about different samples based on the fact, again, 5 labs and the fact that they've always talked about this sample that had mixed profiles. Now we know about a hair. I think we're going to hear about other things too. The FBI has apparently gotten what was in the Florida lab being tested. So it could be numerous samples. I think these other labs also could be assisting. They're going to be paid labs. They don't do this for free. I think one of the reasons that this move from Florida to Quantico was because of money. Remember, they were purportedly doing this pro bono, and 77 days is a long time to do something pro bono. And I think that that's a factor we're not hearing about. Nobody wants to talk about that. And then obviously, as well, the fact that they're saying the FBI has this advanced technology, they would have always had it. So that really should irk everyone off that the sample didn't go there because they would have always had the advanced technology and expertise. So now the whole excuse that we were initially given that it was based on them having the profiles established and all of that, and they, you know, this being imminent in terms of time, urgency, that's why they kept it. They sold, you know, that made a lot of sense, to be honest. You never want to start all over a DNA project. I tell you, we had lab people switch right in the middle of the case, it was horrible. Just, and that's at Quantico with the same protocols and the same, you know, folks, but somebody would leave in the middle of one of my cases. I'm like, oh no, bad. Because somebody else has to take it over and restart. So it made a lot of sense to me when that was the original excuse. But knowing that they had that technology, that's really should have the Guthrie family and anybody who cares about justice for Nancy upset. Because that is not tracking at all. Let me see. I was trying to make sure I didn't miss anything else that I'm recapping on the DNA. I think that's it. Big, big news. But I'm, like I said a long time ago, I'm very cautiously optimistic because so many people are in and out of people's homes. So many people can leave trace DNA, can leave or touch DNA. In other words, their skin cells rub off on your doorbell or other places. I will forever be bothered by the fact that, at least from what I can tell, no one took the mat. No one took the mat. No one took the vines, despite Porch Guy with a flashlight in his mouth, touching his mouth, I would believe getting slobber on it, then pulling those weeds, taking it out. It's too late. It's too late, but I guarantee the after action of all of this, they will be discussing that. After action, we'll discuss that. Because there's no excuse. No excuse. That's my opinion on that. Nancy Guthrie, day 77, I believe. Everything is still urgent in my mind because you have Porch Guy out there. And any other accomplices, they're still out there, everyone. who's next on the radar? Was this strictly so personal that it only was meant to go after the Guthries? Was that what this is? Strictly that personal? That they only want the Guthries to suffer? Well, if it was a kidnap for ransom based on Savannah's wealth, that means there could be others targeted. And that's what Nanos said. I know nobody wants to hear about what Nanos says, but that's what he says. Look out, everyone. There's a danger to the community. I told you about the Scottsdale case. I'll repeat it in case you don't know about it. Again, an hour and a half north of Nancy's house in Scottsdale, Arizona, in a very affluent neighborhood, the day before she was abducted, two other individuals were kidnapped. And when I say kidnapped, they weren't grabbed from their house. Kidnapped under the legal statute means taken control of, if you will. These people were bound, they were beaten, and they tried to get cryptocurrency, just like what happened in this case. Two knuckleheads drove 6.5 hours. They didn't even know each other. They were directed to do this by Red and 8 over a Signal app. To me, this sounds like dark web stuff to be able to find people that would want to commit a crime like this. I was talking to Robin Dreek, and I think I'll have him on. Let me know in chat if you would like Robin to come on. I love Robin. Look, we were overlapped a lot in the Bureau, not in terms of working cases, but in terms of our time frame. He was in a completely different area. He actually oversaw counterterrorism, the profiling part of that counterterrorism. So I love him because he is a profiler in that sense. And I just think he and I come from such different avenues. You know, not all FBI agents are made alike. And when I say that, and I'll always say this, there's a huge group of bureau agents that were the workers. Man, they got out there, they worked, but they very seldom had the big cases. They didn't want to. They loved more assisting, being lead agents, helping out, maybe having a small little case, and that's what they were assigned. There were agents in the bureau just like every place else, small percentage, but they were there that almost did nothing. They were constantly in trouble, being written up by their supervisors, not performing, not getting good evaluations. There are those. And then there are another small, fairly small percentage, probably 20%, maybe something like that, that were the case makers that are in there. They're working the huge cases. They're getting assigned the huge cases. They have people that are working for them on these huge cases that live and breathe the bureau, whether for good or for bad, workaholics, there day and night, married to the FBI. You have those. There's a percentage of those, right? And so I say this to say that I don't know who is assigned Nancy's case. I don't know who's leading the charge in Nancy's case, but I'm hoping it's one of those that I just described that's a real, real case maker, and I'm sure it is, with experience in these kinds of cases. When I talk about Robin and how I intersect that with Robin is that he's just such an interesting guy. He's a statistical guy. And we're on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, who I also want to do a plug for that. I also have gotten to know recently, I've been on his show 3 times, Joe Pags, through News Nation. So News Nation has different affiliates that we work very closely with. So for instance, if you're wondering, yes, I'm under contract, and so I have to only provide for News Nation, except for in specific areas, I'm given leave. Like I can do local shows, local affiliates that are following different cases, like KTLA, I work a lot with them. I work a lot with Orlando. I work a lot in Boston. I did WBZ forever. That they allow that because it doesn't conflict with the with what they're competing against. So what they're competing against is Newsmax, CNN, Fox National. Those are the big cable news stations. So anyway, that's why sometimes you'll see me. And then they're also great about letting me talk to the different Newsweek is probably the number one. Recently, Men's Journal just did an article based on my contributions and things like that. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, except to say that when you're looking at who is speaking, take a look at their background. How long were they with the department? Were they retired with the department, or did they leave early? I'm telling you, as the FBI, very few people leave early. Men, they showed us a stat when I was there. Maybe it's changed because after 9/11, a lot of people came into the FBI that never had any thought about being in law enforcement or FBI, but then they got the calling after 9/11. They got it. They quit their big jobs. There were two that came to my squad, and they lasted about 2 years because they were like, oh, man, this is hard work. This sucks. I'm working a gazillion hours. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. I'm literally on, you know, once every 5 or 6 months, I'm the one that's stocking the cans or the soda for the squad that you contribute to. So everybody has a place to grab a snack or grab a soda. What am I doing? Like, I was formerly a political campaign manager, that was one of them, or a banker or a doctor. You had people quitting their jobs right and left, and they got in, they said, wait a minute, I'm making $50,000 for this. Nah, I'm not that into being patriotic. I'm going to go back to what I did. And they all left. So other than that, though, other than those folks, typically, it was 95 to 96% of male FBI, and I would love to see this stat now. If you started, you ended, you retired. And to be honest, one of the biggest parts, even though you don't get paid much at all, I mean, if you look at hourly, I think I figured this up a long time ago, around $40 an hour, maybe, that I made when you added up all the hours, because you don't get overtime or anything like that, unless when I was assigned to the FBI director's detail, his protective detail, then in that case, you got overtime. And then on some specials, especially if they were high risk specials, like when I was with SWAT and we had high risk, you know, you're working 12 hours plus, we got actual real overtime. Other than that, no matter what, when you're an agent, you get your salary plus what we call AUO, and that's it. So you're, if you work 80 hours or if you work 40 hours, you're going to get the same pay. It's never going to change. So you're not incentivized to work harder because of the pay. That's for sure. So anyway, just a little bit of background on the FBI, but Robin was there the entire time. And that's what I say about different pundits. I've talked about this loosely before. Look at their time behind the tiller. Did they just have 1 year? And that included, you know, 17 to 19 weeks at Quantico. Did they ever work a criminal case in their life? Did they ever work a homicide case in their life? Did they ever work violent crime in their life? What was their background? And what I love about Robin, like I said, there's all these different areas, and you become, you get an expertise in that area. Most people come in, like if they come in working white collar, they work white collar their whole life. The only time they would ever fade into anything else is if they were needed, a body was needed. For instance, on the Guthrie case, 100 bodies, they came from every aspect. But just like I only worked white collar for a short time in And I say I worked white collar. I worked on a white collar squad, but we handled what we call AO leads. So they were leads coming out of other divisions that were quick hits, like we need a search warrant searched, or we need a white collar criminal found. A lot of those types of leads. I was a lead agent for about not quite the first year on a white collar squad. Look, I was thrilled because I never had to be on an applicant squad. That was pretty cool. And so I went straight into criminal work and then got on organized crime squad, I think within less than 9 months, which I loved. But nevertheless, I don't mean to digress. I'm talking about Robin Dreek because FBI, well documented in the FBI, but worked on another aspect. So we have so much fun talking because his aspect, which was in behavioral science piece of sort of spy work and terrorism and things like that. So in other words, he didn't focus on violent crime offenders. He focused on spies and terrorists, which are violent offenders. Actually, they would fall into that category. But anyway, I think I'm going to have Robin on. I would love to have Robin on. Does everybody say, yeah, let's do Robin? Anyway, you guys, I love chat because you guys are all in like five or six different conversations. You're always chatting with each other about, I just love it. I haven't worn my glasses a lot today, but I do really love it. Everybody's saying, yes, yes, yes. I'm having Robin on. I think he's wonderful. And we love to bounce stuff off each other. What I really like about him is he really challenges me. He'll say, well, wait a minute, you're saying this. I want to know why. I want to understand the statistical. He loves stats. I'm going to have Robin on. Look for that. Hopefully, Monday. That's tomorrow. Maybe. Let me see what I can work out with his schedule, and see what I can work on. But I'm going to work on that. I think you guys would love to have him on. He's so great. And if there's anybody else you'd like to have on, let me know, hit me up, and I will work on that. All right, everyone. I read the word thing down there. Thank you all. I can't thank my mods enough. I swear we have the best mods, and I can tell you, so we're involved offline with each other, and they also assist in a lot of other things, a lot of research, and a multitude, a gamut of other things to help make the channel better and make it successful and force multiply, I'll call it. Whenever we can force multiply on something, it's good because that just means more knowledge and more information we can pass out and have the backing to back a fact. That's what I have them do a lot is just, hey, this is out there. Can you give me the links to who is saying this and why? And then that way I can take them and research them and dial them down and get to the nuts and bolts of where information comes from. So anyway, I appreciate the mods and everybody, all the team that works on this channel. And I really appreciate each one of you because without each of you, we have nothing. We don't have a channel. So I want to thank each of you so much for joining me on this Saturday. And until next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.